being a new creation. And I said, man, you need to share that with us. It's been a while since we've talked about that. I want to hear it again. I want to hear about how I am a new creation in Christ. So Pastor Carl is bringing the message today. Welcome Pastor Carl as he comes up and brings us the Word of God. I got him.
All right, okay, good. Well, good morning. How about you Gator baseball fans? They're in the finals. Yeah, I think FSU's been there in the College World Series either 18 or 19 times. They've never won. Aw. But now I will say the Gators have been there. I think this is their ninth time, and we've never won. So this is our chance Monday, so be praying for them. They'll need it. So that's exciting. I'm a big sports fan, for all you don't know that already. So did everyone receive notes? Because notes are always important, but especially today, I'm going to give you some tools to take home with you to be able to explain to other people how to become a new creation. So if you didn't get notes, would you raise your hand if you like some sermon notes as we go along? You can follow along with me. Raise your hand if you didn't get one. The ushers will bring you one right now. So I want to put up, Pastor Bill mentioned Belize. I want to put a picture up of the Zabane family who hosted me. There they are, and they're a wonderful family. Emilio's the father, the dark-skinned guy in the middle there, and the mother, Liz, she's from America. Her family is from, her mother lives in Tampa, and they come here in August, and I hope they get to come to our service. They're going to come visit Brendan and me in August, and those are their three daughters, Bella, Hadassah, which is the Hebrew name for Esther, and Lily. So they're really cute, so I really love them all, and they'll be here. And if you put the next picture on, this is their church building, and that's Emilio and Pastor Bob Duval standing. That was a year ago. That wasn't this year. That was my first trip to Belize last year ago, January. And you can see that's a big building. And this community only has 5,000 to 6,000 people in it. And this building will hold 300. And it has a separate section that they're going to. Emilio is a businessman. These people are amazing people, their whole family. They are movers and shakers. They're the politicians there. As a matter of fact, Emilio's immediate family links into President George Price. He passed away a few years ago, but he's the founding president of Belize when it became British Honduras and turned into the name of Belize. He was the longest reigning Democratic leader ever in history of any country, by far. Amazing man. He got up and prayed every single day at 6 in the morning. He went to the local church and prayed. And I believe his prayers are being answered in this church, and Emilio and his family, and the whole country is going to experience a great awakening. So they've had people come from all over America to help build this church. Pastor Joel Osteen has sent teams down. Gateway Church from Texas, they've sent teams down to help build. Teams from Tennessee and Louisiana, and they are $12,000 away from completing it. They're going to have a big celebration in March. I hope to be there. And they're going to believe for revival to break forth immediately when they start their services there. So that's a little bit about that. Pastor Bob, I'll talk about him in just a few minutes. So today's message is, you are a new creation. So I'm going to give a little bit of encouragement to everyone today about the fact that you are a new creation and how to share that. And I'm going to have a couple challenges for you. So I want you to buckle up and get ready. But this is going to be awesome for you to learn how to share being a new creation in Christ. Our foundation scripture, we have a couple of them, but the main one is 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says this: Now, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. One version says he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, or behold, new things have come, as it says in that version, New American Standard. So, you don't have to say this, but we've been doing this on Friday night. Brenda has put together a list of confessions with scripture references of who we are in Christ as a new creation. So I'm just going to have you, if you don't have to, you don't have to say this if you don't want to, but it will do something in you. So say this with me. I'll say it first, then we'll say it again. I am a new creation. Let's say it together. I am a new creation. You know, that does something inside of us because that's God's word. And when we say God's word, there's something about saying something out loud. If we say it, we begin to believe it, and we begin to respond to it. So we are all new creations in Christ Jesus. And also, one of the messages I shared down there was I felt like I needed to share on a new creation and also firm foundations. Because a lot of Christians say, how do I become a better Christian? How do I walk this out? And the answer, there's lots of foundations in Scripture, lots of fundamental things that we need to know. And there's a scripture in Psalm 11:3 that says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's asking a question, and I would answer very little or nothing. If the foundations of a house are destroyed, your house is finished. Same thing in our Christian walk. If the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? Well, there's a workbook that we have that was written years ago in the ministry that Pastor Bill and Rebecca and I grew up in Maranatha Ministries, that Rose Weiner wrote, called Bible Studies for a Firm Foundation. And if you want one, we have a few. You can see Pastor Mike this week, and you can get them. Some of the firm foundations, and they're in your notes there, that are in this book, and others. These are just some, not all, but these are all important. One is God's Word. Two is prayer. Three is devotion to teaching or training. Four is fellowship or relationship. And guess where we get those? Small groups. Because in here, we can relate to each other a little bit, give each other a hug, but small groups is a key. That's where you get to know people. That's where you get to share and open up and grow in a deeper way. And so that's what we have for fellowship and relationships. That's a key in your Christian walk. Number five is unity. Number six is worship and praise. Seven is faith. Eight is love. Nine is evangelism and testimony, which is what we're going to talk about mainly today. Number 10, godliness and holiness. Number 11 is baptisms. And number 12 is the return of our Lord Jesus. And statistically, there's been a lot of studies on Christianity, and probably the two areas that we are the weakest in as Christians are one, prayer, and two, sharing our faith, evangelism. We don't do a very good job of it. We can do better, and I know we stress this in Victory Church, and I hope that we'll learn a little bit this morning about how to share your faith as a new creation. So today I'm going to share a few scriptures, and that's what we've written out. You can take those home with you, about what it is to be a new creation. Not only that, it's understanding what a new creation is, what a new creation is not, and that when we find out these things, it empowers Christians to be able to explain their faith and share their testimony, which is really His story, Christ's story in you, and help others receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In your notes, it also says 2 Corinthians 5:20, which says that part of it says that we are ambassadors for Christ, which is representatives. I've spoken on this before, that we are all representatives. It doesn't just say I'm the representative or Pastor Bill's the representative. We are all representatives of God because Jesus lives inside of us. We all have a story. We all have something to share. That's called the Great Commission. So let's ask some questions. Number one, was I once an old creation? And that's in your notes there. Once was I old, an old creation. Now, when I've shared my faith, and some of you may have experienced them yourselves, I feel like the most common defense mechanism that people put up if you ask them if they're a Christian or not, and if their explanation of it is, well, I'm basically a pretty good person. I've never killed anybody. I've never mugged anybody, or whatever they might have as their reasoning behind, I'm basically a pretty good Christian. That's very common. Anybody ever experienced it? I have many times. But let's see what Scripture says, because this is the key. There's a lot of stuff going around attacking Christianity today, attacking it in the school system, the media, movies, everywhere on the internet. Everything's attacking what it means to be a Christian and whether or not you should even bother to stand up for Christianity. If you've not noticed that, let's see, was I once an old creation? Romans 3:23 answers that. This is very clear. It's not a mystery. It says, and your fill in the blank there is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that's a great memory scripture. It's very short, it's concise, but it's important because it's the basis of our foundation of faith in Jesus Christ and being a new creation. And we know from Scripture that Adam and Eve first committed the first sins. They disobeyed God. And from that, through our gene pool, we inherited a self-centered, sinful nation. And it's been with us all along. And if people will argue that one too, they'll probably, again, they'll say, I'm pretty much a pretty good person. But if you've ever been a parent and you've raised little children, you know that you spend most of your time teaching them how to be a good person. They're very adept and very good about taking their little sister, their little brother's toy, or running off, or pouting, or doing all these other things. You have to work with them and teach them how to be, train them how to be a good person. They're not naturally good people. Yes, we have good things inside of us because God has created us in His image, but we're still self-centered. We're still separated from God. So, we've all sinned. That's the premise. Number two, the second question we want to ask is, where or what does this new creation come from? And we can find that in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, notice it was two things. And you're filling in the blanks there. The first one, it was a free gift. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But it says it's a free gift of God. So this is another good memory scripture, is Romans 6:23. It's short. It's easy to memorize. I would recommend that everybody know this, that it's a free gift of God. And number two, it's in Christ Jesus. Notice it's in Christ Jesus. And we'll get to that in a minute because we're going to share a scripture that kind of combines these two together so you can explain this to others. What about good works? Now, I told you a minute ago that a lot of people say, well, I'm basically a good person. I've done a lot of good things. I'm a Christian. I've done this. I've done that. Should we do good works? Are good works good enough to get us into heaven? I'm glad you asked. So these questions are important. So this next passage is Ephesians 2:8-10. So I'm going to read the thing all the way through, and then we're going to go over a couple points about Ephesians 2. And we sang the first comment, "An Amazing Grace." "For by grace," circle that word grace, because that's important, "you have been saved through faith," circle the word faith, "and that not of yourselves," it's not of ourselves, "it's a gift of God." There's that word again, it's a gift of God. "So that no man or no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So that's verse 10, and we'll get to that because verse 10 about being a workmanship is important about being a new creation as well. But let's look at verse 8 and that word grace. We could talk a lot about grace, but grace simply means unearned, unmerited favor, kindness granted without any expectation of return. Let me say that again. Grace is unearned, unmerited favor, it's kindness granted without any expectation of return. It actually is the exact opposite of the Greek word ergo, which means works. It's the exact opposite. It's something you can't earn, something you couldn't get no matter how hard you tried. God has to orchestrate it. Now, we talked about circling that word faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." This is New American Standard. It says the conviction of things not seen. That's up on your screen. Circle that in your notes there, the conviction of things not seen. Is that in our notes? If it's not, you can just write it on the margin. So right now, some of us are feeling inside kind of a conviction. It's just like God saying, speaking, kind of urging you. Something's going on inside of us. That's God. He's always convicting us. It's by his word that God made us to be convicted. That means we know there's a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. And our conscience, if we let God take hold of it, He leads us in the things that we should do. And even if we don't know God, when somebody starts to tell you about God, your conscience will convict you that this is true, this is not true. This is the way you ought to be, this is the way you ought not to be. And he'll teach you how to come to God. So that's our conscience. And so faith is a conviction of God's word being true. It's hard to explain it, but if you know it inside, if you've been a Christian, you know that God shows you. When you read scripture, you know it's true. Inside of you, it tells you that it's true. That's what God's put inside of every one of us. It's our spirit. It's the part of us that believes in God, that trusts God, that knows God. So you are convicted, and it's a gift from God. Verse 9 says, "It's not a result of works that no one should boast." So what does that mean? God gave us Jesus, who came on earth as the perfect Son of God and died for us on the cross. The cross and the resurrection were a gift from our Heavenly Father. They were a gift from our Heavenly Father. It says in Romans 5:8, it's not in your notes if you want to write it there. It says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's his gift to us. You know, last week we had Father's Day, and Brenda gave out some gifts to us as the men. She gave out the little measuring tapes and some cutter knives for us to use, us guys use these kind of things. And she gave it to us. That was a gift. Now, if I had said, wait a minute, and I took out my wallet and I gave her $1 for it or $10 or four, then it wouldn't have been a gift anymore. So that's an illustration of what it really means to be a gift. You can't buy what we get last week. Brenda gave it to us, or the church gave it to us. That's a gift. Such as eternal life, such as what Jesus gave us at the cross and the resurrection. And nobody in here could purchase that. Plus, it happened 2,000 years ago before we were even born. So it's a gift from God, eternal life. Now, verse 10, I told you we would talk about that because it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's verse 10 up on the screen for me, Kevin. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So salvation is, fill in the blank, a gift which is received by faith, and a new creation wants to do good works. So this is the key. We are his workmanship. Or you could say a workmanship is the same thing as a new creation. Because once Jesus comes inside of us, he changes our desires. We want to be like him. We want to do what we were created to be. We want to find out what it means to be a new creation in Christ. What is our destiny and purposes? That's called workmanship. So once you become a new creation, you've received the gift of God, then you walk out being a new creation. So now wait a minute. Let's talk about this for a second. What are some possible signs to show that we or someone else that you might be talking to might not be a new creation? So Scripture helps us with that. It says, I'm going to read through this quickly. Brenda read it last week. I don't think it was coincidence you read this. I think God wants to say something to us. In Galatians 5, it's in your notes, so I'm going to read through it quickly, verses 19 through 24. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident or obvious, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, which is drug addiction, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. So this isn't it. This is just some of the main ones. Of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So there's a lot of things on there, and it's showing us if there's questions in our minds. Scripture's good about explaining, well, should I be doing this? Should I be living with my girlfriend? Should I be running around? Is it all right to get drunk? Is it all right to have a temper tantrum? Is it all right to slap my friend? You know, the Bible says things that we should and should not do. And if we don't remind ourselves, even as a new creation, we can fall back into these habits. And how do I know that? It's because we do have a mind. We have to make decisions every day. And one of the foundations that we read is reading God's Word, spending time with God, knowing God. And as we do this, we'll go, oh, all my friends in high school said, haven't you not had sex with your girlfriend yet? And I know this from cases because I've talked to people over the years, and it's like, this is what's coming against us as Christians. This is, and it's getting stronger and stronger, y'all, because the Bible talks about us being in the last days, and it says in the last days, this is, when I say the last days, this is the end of time before Jesus returns and rules on and reigns on earth and wraps up and destroys evil, throws Satan in the bottomless pit. And there's a lot. That's one of the foundations we mentioned a minute ago, is the return of the Lord Jesus. So we're in those last days. And when you read passages in there, it tells, watch out for deceiving spirits. Watch out for delusions and deception, seducing spirits. These are things that will grow stronger and stronger. And the media and the social media that we have is a great system, but it also allows us to be bombarded with bad things as well as the good things. So we have to guard ourselves. We have to read God's Word and fellowship with each other, because sometimes somebody will see a habit. And if you're married and you have a good relationship with your husband or your wife, they help us. They help us see when we're having a bad attitude, and we need to walk on God's way of doing things. Note on verse 21, it says, those who practice such things, fill in that blank there is practice such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. We all slip, we all mess up, but let's not practice these things. A new creation should not want to practice this, because verse 24 says that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its desires and its attitudes. It's not in your notes, but Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, the life which I now live in the body, right now on earth, as you remain on earth, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So when we have this new creation in us, and we are new creations, we've been crucified to Christ, with Christ to the things of the world. We know where our desires change. Now, if you put up the photo of Pastor Bob up there, this is a year ago. We're in Belize City. We're looking over the water at the Ramada Inn restaurant there. And I'm going to tell a couple little stories about Pastor Bob. He was my former pastor for Brenda and I and our two first sons in 1983 through 1986 in Baton Rouge. And when we were there, it was an awesome time. But I talked to Bob about every week. And because we're friends, we just get along and we vacation together. We've done a lot of things over the years. And he got to speak. He travels around and works for an insurance company. And he spoke 7 years ago in Wisconsin. And the pastor, they loved him so much, they've been talking about his stories for 7 years. And they found out he was going to be back in Wisconsin. They invited him back. And he says, Carl, I'm going to speak on a couple of things about evangelism, because he used to lead an evangelistic team back in the ministry I was with. And he was outreaching in Memphis, Tennessee, and a young man named Mark that they witnessed to, they shared the gospel with, gave his heart to Jesus. And this man had some things in his background. He knew he was not right with God, and he was just so thankful that God forgave him. So he got a job at the local Hilton, which is a very fancy hotel there. They have an entertainment area there, and singers and musicians from all over the United States come in there and sing. So he got a job there working in the kitchen, and he says, I'm just so thankful I have a job, because he was involved with a business before that was ungodly, and he had to give it up. So he's just working, washing dishes and stuff. He says, no, I'm going to do this, because he knew that he was thankful, and everything he did from this point on as a new creation was to serve Jesus with all of his heart and to serve people. And so he went in there and said, I'm going to do the best job I can do. So there was a whole stack of dishes in there, and some of these guys were not good employees that were the co-workers in there. They were actually sitting around playing cards. Yeah. So he went, and there was a couple big stacks of dishes. He worked the next 2 hours. They go, you don't need to do that. He goes, no, that's what I'm here for. And he didn't say much and just kept doing it. And they got kind of mad at him, because they were sitting there goofing off. And he did this because he said, no, I'm doing this because I'm thankful for what God has done for me. So he got his first paycheck, and his boss was this man named David Kidd. And he was the boss there, had been there for several years. And they were giving out the paychecks, and he goes, everybody went, I said, no, Mark, come in here, I want to talk to you. He says, as long as I've been here, I've never seen anybody do what you did. What is this? Why were you doing so much extra? You work from the, you never take a break. You never take your break. You just work constantly. What is this? So he got a chance to share the gospel with him, because he'd never seen anybody do anything like this, this kind of attitude. He said it was for God. And so David Kidd was touched by it, received the Lord, and became a pastor there and pastored for many years. So what an influence. And as a result, he got to stand out there, Mark did, during times when entertainers would come in, and he got to share his testimony and share with people like John Davidson. You young people don't know who John Davidson is, but he was a pop singer back in the 70s and 80s, and he got to share the gospel with him and other people. So that was just his heart. As a new creation, he wanted to share Jesus. Now, you may not be as articulate as Mark is. I never met the man, but that was his heart. Now, Pastor Bob, came to my fraternity house in 1978, and he worked with a team, just like we have teams. We call them dream teams. And he worked together with a team that was planting a new church at Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. That's where I met Brenda, and she shared a little bit about that last week, of our church there. And they were starting this brand new church. Now, I was not a Christian. I was far from it at the time, but I was an officer in my fraternity, and Bob came up to the door with part of this team and was booking a contemporary Christian outreach band that they used that would go around to fraternities and sorority houses, and they would play music, and they would sneak in little scriptures in between songs. And so they must have been praying. They had to have a team praying, because to this day I have no idea why I said, yes, you can come into my fraternity house. Because I did ask him, I said, so where are the other places you praying at, playing at? And he mentioned some, and he mentioned our next door neighbors, and I know how rowdy they were, that if they were going there. So I said, okay, well, if you can play at the ATO house, you can play at our house at lunch. It was just a free little thing. So they came, and they had a team that came with them. They had a worship team. I was helping them move furniture and getting all set up, and this guy comes up to me, and he wanted to share something with me. He wasn't in the music team. He was just there supporting them and helping them set up and stuff. And he looked at me, and I looked him back at the face with this really me look on my face. And I said, hey, you guys can play, but no preaching. Got it? And he goes, yeah, we got it. And so his name was James Thomas, and he told me afterwards, he said, Carl, I have to admit this. You were the last guy I thought in here that would give his life to the Lord. And it ended up being at that moment I was the only one that gave his heart to the Lord. So my point is, as a new creation, we have to walk some things out. I had some things that happened that very night that God just took out of my life by his grace right away. I stopped cussing. I decided I want to serve God with all my heart and let Jesus be Lord of my life. And I said, I'm not running around anymore and all that kind of stuff. But there's other things that take a whole Christian walk. And that's why we need each other. We need the church. We need prayer. We need fellowship. We need small groups. We need all these things. Because that's the Christian walk, is walking it out day by day. So one of the things we have, or at least I had, was being critical of people, because I'm good at analyzing people. And so was James. And so James thought I was not the right kind of guy to get saved. I mean, how does he know? You know, we don't know what's going on in somebody's heart. When you share the gospel, they can, I've heard this, people will cuss you out, but they'll get saved the next day because God's dealing with them. What's in your heart's going to come out in one way or another. So a little story about James Thomas is that he was in the process at the time. He's a young guy, just like a year older than me. He got married young, he and his wife, and they were getting ready to go to Central America to go plant a church, and he was learning rapid learning of Spanish, and I'd heard about that. Somebody told me while I was there. He was only there about 2 or 3 weeks, and we had this other worship leader named Randy Rothwell. Do you remember Randy and Dana Rothwell? They were awesome worship people, and I loved them. And Randy actually was a recording artist and recorded a lot of music in the following years. And he was our worship leader when that church first started. But one week he went out of town, and James Thomas, this guy that shared with me, I didn't know he did worship. He was leading worship, and I was watching. He did the first song, and this is the part of me that was not a new creation yet that I needed to work on. I thought to myself, I don't like him. I don't like him. I want Randy. Where's Randy Rothwell? I don't like James. He's boring. I just don't like him. He's just kind of quiet with his guitar there. And I said, I want Randy. And I'm thinking this in my mind. I didn't say that with anybody else, but I did ask later. I said, what happened to Randy? Well, he had to go out of town. So I was critical, not knowing that what was going on in this man's heart. So about a year or two later, I heard that he'd went to Guatemala, and James Thomas was the number one pop artist in all of Guatemala with a Christian song. It hit the top of the charts. He was so popular, they renamed him Diego, which is Spanish for James, and that's all he was known as, Diego. So this is his song. It's been re-recorded by many artists for many years. I'll play about a minute and a half of it before we wrap up here in a minute. And when I heard this song, I'm going, oh my, I was really wrong. I was very critical. Play this song, and it's called Tengo Vida Nueva, which is kind of our message today. I have new life, and it's still being recorded. So if you'd click that on for me, Kevin, and it's not really a video. It's more of an audio. Tengo vida nueva.
en mi vida ha sucedido algo muy especial. Entendí lo que dice el Señor.
Lord,
Él
Lord,
le dice,
Lord.
Si tú le abres tu corazón a Él, Él te da una vida nueva.
So it goes on, so you can see what a voice, and it's just transformed, and many recording artists have recorded that song since, as I mentioned before. He was invited to the president's palace and did a concert. The president was a Christian of Guatemala back in the 80s, and he sang that there, and he had another song that hit the top of the charts there and did an album. So I'm thinking, when I heard that, I go, oh my, forgive me, Lord, for being so critical of him. I don't know what was going on with his future and everything, so we just don't know. God looks at the heart. We analyze people, but God looks at the heart. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and I used this with my college roommate. He was not a Christian at the time. He said, well, I just live for myself. He says, that's what being a Christian is, just living for myself. And I said, no, it's not, Ralph. It says, because 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all, that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So when we, in order to become a new creation, we have to give up our life. Now that's an action that we're going to talk about in just a minute, because I want to end by these three steps to becoming a new creation. The first step is, number one, is repent. Now that is a religious word that the news media likes to just make fun of that word. But that's a real word, and it has real meaning. And all it means on your fill in the blanks is to change your mind. It comes from the Greek word called metanoia, which was change one's mind. That's all it means. So you're changing your mind. God gave us a mind. He doesn't make us robots. Even when we become Christians, you can choose and you have choices. You can walk away from God. I can walk away from God right now. He's not holding me back. But I've seen who He is. I've seen what He's done, and I'm not going to do that. So number two, follow equals receive. Equals receive. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave them the rights to become, or the power to become, in one version, children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So, no, you don't have to do anything to earn your salvation, but you do have to accept it. That's the choice of the mind. You have to receive. If you haven't received Jesus or prayed a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with the willingness to give up your own life and follow Him, you may not be a Christian yet. And we'll take care of that in just a minute, because we want everybody to be followers of Jesus. That should be all of our hearts if we're new creations. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So it addresses Jesus as Savior, which means He came and saved us from our eternal destiny, which is being apart from Him, and He gave us a destiny to be with Him. But He's also, His title is Lord, because in the very first sermon, when the Apostle Peter preached in Acts 2:36, he said, they were all convicted. They were all convicted by this message that Jesus was the Messiah and He had risen from the dead. And these religious people were convicted. It was a powerful, God spoke to them. And He said to them, God has made Him both Lord and Christ. Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So we believe, circle the word heart, or fill in the blank there, number three, and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. So we don't, when we're confessing with our mouth, this is an ongoing thing. We're not ashamed that Jesus is our Lord. And I'm going to, before I do the last fill in the blank, I want to read this, because Gomer Kuhn is just an awesome man of God here. And we have on the back of your connection cards prayer requests every week that you can fill out. Gomer, when he's here, always fills out his card. And on his card, he thanks God for all the people in his life for his wife, his friends, his job, everything. But at the end, he also has an evangelistic prayer request. And we pray these every week. I walk around, I always pick up Gomer's and pray it. And here's what Gomer said this week. He says, pray for a real good day and service, that someone will find Jesus as their Savior today. Pray for each one to share God's plan of salvation with someone today and with his love. And I just appreciate you, Gomer, for putting that on there. And Gomer means that he didn't know that I was going to talk about the plan of salvation. He doesn't usually use those terms, but he did this week, that I was going to share that. So the last fill in the blank is believing is an action word. I mean, that there's a scripture in James that says the devils believe that Jesus is Christ. The difference is that word believe there is not the same as faith believing. It's just believing a historical fact. You and I could believe that Jesus died on the cross, but that doesn't make us a new creation because we're not following him. So when you see the word assigned to saving faith in Scripture, that word believe is an action word, which means to trust in or rely upon. So I'm trusting in God. I'm entrusting my life to him, trusting him the rest of my life to follow him. So I want to give an invitation now to us, and you know, we're going to talk. We've talked a lot about what it means to be a new creation. You know, John 17:3 says this: "This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus, who associates him with God, whom he has sent." So, as we've talked about, being a new creation is not about doing good works. When we become a new creation, we want to do good works. But as this says, that you may know God. This is eternal life. Starts right now. It doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts right now, and you walk this relationship out day by day, and you have a desire to see other people come to know the Lord. So I gave you some tools this morning, some scriptures to help people, because I think if you knew what scriptures to share with somebody that you're with, you can help someone. There's people that won't come in here and hear Pastor Bill or me or Pastor Mike or Brenda or Rebecca or anybody else, but they'll listen to you. So if you have the scriptures, take these home with you and formulate your own little testimony about how God changed your life and how he loves them and died for them and wants to change their life. So if everyone would bow their head, I want to give this invitation as we do every week. It says in 1 John 5:12 through 13, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you... So, when I was talking to different people and over the years, some of them aren't sure. And you may not be completely sure this morning that if you were to accidentally die today, would you go to heaven? Would you be with God? But this scripture says clearly that if you have the Son of God inside of you, if you become a new creation, you can know from this day forward that Jesus is with you and you will be with him here on earth and for all eternity. So I want to ask this question. If you're either in one of two places, you've never prayed that part on one of those three points I said that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You basically believe he's the Son of God, he died on the cross, but you've never received him, or you were following him at one time, but you've kind of gotten off the track and you're not following the way you want, you know, the way you know God wants you to, and you want to ask him to come back in your life and know for sure that you're going to have eternal life. If you're in one of those two categories without anybody looking around, say, yeah, Pastor Carl, would you pray for me? I want to make sure. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you if that's you. And just want to say a prayer with you. Thank you. Anyone? Thank you. All right, well, let's pray. If anyone had this in their heart, they wanted to pray it, let's all pray out loud and agree with anyone who wants to make sure. Dear Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your help. I choose with my mind to follow you today. I believe in my heart you sent Jesus, your Son. He died for me, and then you rose him from the dead for me. right now, I turn from my ways. I turn to choose to follow you. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Right now, I'm born again. I am a Christian. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand for those who prayed that in their heart. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for letting me share today.
You did an awesome job explaining that.